right. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. We are ready today for verses 28 and 29, and I think we'll read them here at the beginning. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The love which man, or the husband, is to have for his wife is love he has for his own body. Our verse starts out, so. The word so, just a little word, but it tells us that to look back at what precedes, or in some cases it can be what follows. In this case, it is what precedes, what has gone before. As the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse, and wash her by the water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and blameless, holy and without blemish for him. So, in this manner, ought. In this manner, it is the duty. That's what the word ought means. It is the duty, the responsibility of men to love their wives after this manner, the manner of Christ. As their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. As Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And as the church is his body. So in like manner, husbands should love their wives as they are their own body. They are yours. Now, Christ loves his church because it is his body. And husbands are to love their wives because it is their body. Husbands, men, we don't need anyone to tell us to love our body, to love our own body. We just, man, in his right mind, there have been men that they're not in their right mind and they're sadists. They treat themselves badly. But a man in his right mind don't have to be told to love his own body. He just naturally loves his own body. Think about that for a moment. It's a product of who we are. We want what we want. We're selfish. And if we are bad enough, we'll go to whatever length necessary to obtain it. And most of us, when this body hurts, we want the hurt to be stopped. And so we'll go to great lengths to see to it that that hurt is stopped. We love our body. We love ourselves. Well, husbands are to love their wife just as they love themselves. Think about that. We've already looked at the fact that this love that we're to have is an unselfish love. You can't love this fella more than you love her. I'm to love her as I love myself. In study, I do a lot of reading of sometimes of what other men have to say, and there's a lot out there that is promoted. I don't think I agree with it. That it's not to the same extent. This is not dealing with extent. It's as you love yourself, your body, in the same manner you're to love your wife. As you love yourself. I think it goes to extent. Well, I think it goes to a greater extent. Then you love yourself. Let me ask you again, how did Christ love the church? his body. It was his body, and that as Christ loved the church, his body is his body, so the wife is our body, and we are to love her as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Did he love the church to the extent? I think to a greater extent. He gave his life. He gave his body. He gave his blood for her. And in that manner, in like manner, as Christ loved the church, as much as Christ loved the church, to the same extent that Christ loved the church, men, we're to love our wives to that extent. Has his love for his church ceased? Did it end with the giving of his life on the cross? And the resurrection of the dead, did it end? Was that the end of it? No. So husbands, that's not to be the end of it. We're to nourish her. We're to cherish her. Just as you see to it that this body gets nourished with the things that it needs and the things that it likes, you're to do for her. And just as you cherish this body, you're to cherish her. When we took to ourselves a wife, and the book of Proverbs says, man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. When we took to ourselves a wife, she became one with us. She became mine. She's mine. I am hers. We are one. Yes. That goes even to I am jealous over her. She is jealous over me. And that's in a good sense. That's not in the evil and wicked sense, as the Jews were envious of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is jealous over his body as well. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24, Verse 23 says, and this is after God had taken a rib from Adam's side, and that with that rib he made a woman and brought her unto Adam, brought her unto the man. And the man said, Adam said, in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam here said that she was taken of my substance. Husband and wives today don't become one as her having been taken of my substance, as was Eve taken from Adam's substance in the day. But in typology here of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman, verse 24, therefore shall a man, all men, every man from there on, leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I tell you that this is carried on through every man, carried on into the New Testament. Turn with me now to the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter 10. And look here at verse 7. Mark 10:7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave his wife. The Greek counterpart of the Hebrew word back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, where Adam said cleave, meant to be bonded to stick to cling to like glue, to be bonded together. The Greek counterpart is the same meaning. It is to be bound together, to be stuck together like glue. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. They're one. They've become one. As I said, she is mine. And yes, I am jealous over her. I don't want her giving her love to another man. I am hers. And yes, she's jealous over me. She doesn't want me giving my love to another woman. We are one. To even use a different scripture to cement this thought, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. In other words, to avoid fornication, let a man and woman marry, become joined together. When they marry, notice this, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And not just talking about love, it's talking about the conjugal relationships, sexual relationships that are involved between a husband and a wife. It is due her, and it is due him, according to verse 3. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. We are now married. I don't have power over my body, but she does. And she does not have power over her own body. I do. In other words, we are one. And we ought to be looking to each other as one. And that's why he said in what he says in verse 5. Then, defy not one another. In other words, don't withhold yourself from your husband. And husbands, don't you withhold yourself from your wife. She has a right to you. You have a right to her. And the only time that it is permitted to be withholding one from the other is a time for spiritual reasons. He says, to continue on this thought, drop down to verse 32. After expounding a bit on if a woman has a husband, don't seek to be loose from him. And likewise, the husband should not seek to be loosed from his wife. Verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness, without anxiety. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord. When you're single, you can give yourself totally better to the Lord as a single individual, whether it be man or woman. You can devote more time to Bible reading and to study and to the things of the Lord, to the preaching of the Word, the hearing of the Word. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. You have to not only seek to please the Lord, and wrapped up in pleasing the Lord is the care of your wife, the care and the concern of your wife, the providing the things for her and for her needs that are necessary for her and the family. It's just common sense. And so that takes us away from scripture reading, study, hearing of the word, and to a degree. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. What did those three verses say to us that are married? We're one. We are one. And yet, if I love my wife properly, that's pleasing the Lord. Lord said I should. Lord said I should love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord says she should be submitted to me in my leadership, my guidance, my ambitions and plans and wishes are to be hers. We are one in listen, if we're not one, what do we have in the home? If the husband and wife are not one, what do you have? You ever seen a home that the husband and wife weren't one? Well, all you got to do is look around. There's many of them. And sad to say, they don't last long. But some do. They're dysfunctional. I've seen homes where the wife pits the children against the husband, or the husband pits the children against the wife. They're not together on issues of discipline. And the children get a mixed signal. They don't. The husband and wives are to be one. In all sense of the word, as one. Caring for each other, and all that that involves and entails. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and now verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Christ loved the church, his own body, that he gave himself for it. And not only did he give himself for it, but he continues to nourish it and to cherish it. And so likewise, husbands, we're to do the same. Love our wives. Just like Christ loved the church, loved his body. We are to love our body, our wife. Just as the church, the bride of Christ, is the body of Christ. So I know we've spent a lot of time looking at this in the past, but we need to go there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. He said, the Corinthian body, After telling them they were a body, they were like, using the metaphor of a body, like the human body, comparing it to the human body. He says to them, and now verse 27, now ye Corinthian church, are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, in verse 12, he said that he gave to the church in verse 11, he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, pastors, teaching pastors. And why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the completion of the... What is the completion of? That body, that church assembly that is made up of many members, that they might be a functioning assembly, they might be a functioning body as one, in oneness. Many different members, but one body, functioning as one. Just as this body, when it well, is hitting on all cylinders. Now that's mechanic talk for a car engine that's running as it is supposed to run. And when this body is running as it is supposed to run, it's a fine-tuned machine. And that's probably a bad way to phrase that, because this is something that God created. And man still cannot improve on it. And man still cannot fix what's wrong with it. You understand our medical profession today. They don't fix what's wrong with it. They just give you medicine to treat the side effects of what you got wrong with you. They don't look to cure the problem. They just look to relieve, get you relief. Most of us, that's satisfactory. You can't fix it. Well, I know God can fix it. But do you realize that because of sin, most of the time God is not pleased to fix what's wrong with our bodies? Well, getting off the subject here a bit. But the church is to be brought together to function as one. That's the Lord's. That's why he left these instructions in Ephesians and Corinthians and gave instructions to Timothy concerning the church. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about nourishing his body. He cherishes his body. So, the church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It is his body, and his love for his body is a supreme example to us as men, us husbands, as to how we are to love our wives. We've got a supreme example. You want to know how to love your wife and how to love her better? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with his church, how he loves his church, what he does for his church. We're not to hate her? Does Christ hate his church? Do we see any indication at all in Scripture that Christ hates his church? We're not to hate our wife. It is unnatural. It is unnatural. We would say a man's not in his right mind. We read in scriptures of the lunatic that running through the caves in the wild, cutting himself and abusing himself, and he wasn't in his right mind. He was a lunatic. It's an unnatural thing for a man to hate his body. And it's just as unnatural for him to hate his wife. She's his body. She's part of him. If he neglects her, he's neglecting the law of nature and the law of God. Because he's violating himself. We're to not hate her, but we're to nourish her. That word nourishment goes to feeding and clothing and looking after the things that she has need of. Sustenance of life, we could say. He's to cherish her, just as Christ cherished the church. And that word cherish goes to the fact that he holds the church dear to himself. And we are to hold our wives dear to ourselves, treating them with warmth and tenderness, great care, compassion, affection, and appreciation. Oh, there's a big one. We just, many times we're guilty of just assuming that she knows that we appreciate her and the things she does for us. How does she know? Is she just to assume we appreciate the things that she does? Or do we tell her once in a while? And not necessarily just with our lips. For you know the phrase that actions speak louder than words. Do we show her? Do we show her that we appreciate her? And the things that she does for us. So yes, appreciation is involved in that cherishing her. And that is just as Christ does his body, which he loves, which he nourishes, which he cherishes. He provides for her. He provides every need that she has. There is nothing that she lacks that he has not or does not provide for her. Is there? Look what pastors were instructed in the book of Acts, chapter 20. The Ephesian elders, the Ephesian pastors, here in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, were instructed in this manner by the Apostle Paul. In case you think, well, that's not the Lord instructing. Yes, it was the Lord's care for his church that he moved the Apostle Paul to write this, to speak this to the Ephesian elders. And he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, you elders, you pastors, you look to yourselves first. A pastor has to look to himself first. He has to look inwardly. He has to look to what he needs. He has to look to his sin. Do I have sin? Do I have sin that I need to confess? And then after that, he said, and to all the flock. In other words, after you've looked at yourselves first, then to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed, to nurture the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why? Why did he instruct those Ephesian elders in that manner? Because he loves his church, and he's looking to the nourishing and the cherishing of his church. He does that through his pastors and teachers that he puts in his church. What is it that we have in the book of Philippians? Chapter 4, in verse 19. And I know every one of you know this verse, and we all can quote this verse, and we all use it oftentimes, and you know how we use it most of the time? We use it on an individual basis. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But who was he speaking to here? It is a letter written to the church at Philippi. He's speaking to church in church capacity. But my God shall supply all your need, church. Listen, that's because of his love, the great love which he had for his bride, for his church, and his care for her, the nourishment, he cherishes her. He wants her taken care of. And so he supplies her need. Husbands, if you love yourself, you love as Christ loves his church, because the church is his own body. Husbands, if you're not loving your wives, does Christ love the church? Gave himself for it? In the same manner and to the same extent. Then you don't love yourself. She's a part of you. She's yours. You took her to be your wife. She's yours and you're hers. You're one. And we're to love her. Next week, we'll...